Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now, we're up to nothing. This is a season two wrap-up episode. So we're going to break from our usual format. Let me pull the mic in a little bit here. Sorry if that sounds horrible. We're going to break from the usual format where I would talk about the episode for a bit, show a clip, and then talk with somebody or just by myself. Right now, it's just going to be me talking about what my general thoughts are for how season two panned out. I guess we should start with how this season is perceived. I think Star Trek The Next Generation, the first two seasons are considered to be the worst by far. Season seven potentially sneaks in as maybe a sleeper if you were to pick the two worst seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation. I feel like I don't need to keep saying The Next Generation. Whenever I say Star Trek, you say, yeah. whenever I say Star Trek, I am just going to be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. What I think happens here is that season two is Season two is many times better than season one, where season one was basically a bunch of scripts that were driven by plot and felt like they were ripped out of the 1960s. Season two is at least starting to feel like the show has an understanding of what it wants to be, even if they can't actually get there all the time. And I think they fail to get to that point more than they actually do. That said, this is a very up and down season. It has a lot of really bad episodes. It has some very good episodes. I think it has one great episode, and I think it has a bunch of very solid ones that would probably be a baseline for a later season. And then it fills up the rest of the 22 episodes of this season with a bunch of stuff that's kind of below average or is trying to do something and not quite getting there. I think a perfect example of trying to do something and not quite get there, a perfectly middling episode of this season, is Elementary Dear Data. It has the ideas that would be done much better in later episodes of the show, and as it stands now, it's sort of boring and not really leads you anywhere. And that's problematic, and a lot of these season two episodes are like that. They're trying to do something, they don't quite work, although they're miles better than season one. For general rating here, I think I had 1-5. I rate on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being bad, 5 being the best. It goes a little bit more in depth. I guess I should explain that. 5s are basically the classic episodes. A 4 would be an episode that's very good and you could probably show to a non-Trek fan without having to sort of preface it with a bunch of, well, this was good in 1988, blah, blah, blah. A 3 is a very average episode, not too memorable, but solid. A 2 is it could be a potentially okay or slightly bad episode that has a bunch of problems with it. And a 1 is something that I don't feel the need to ever watch again if I didn't have to. So this one has 5 ones, it has 1-5, and a bunch of 4s, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 4s, which is much better than season 1 ever had, and the average ranking when I get to that will bear that out, I think. I don't want to go on for too long about how this one is, but season 2 is interesting. I think season 2 might be the most bizarre out of all the seasons that happened. I think a lot of ideas that happen here are strange. They don't really work well. I feel that season 2 looks different from all the other shows. I feel like it's darker in some way. That might just be the remaster version. I feel things are underlit more and it's more grainy than season 1 was, which was season 1 was lit very brightly. I feel the film stock or something is different. Things look very grainy. It looks a little bit it looks dated, not as dated as season one, but there's a definite jump when it goes from season two to season three. The cutbacks from the writer's strike obviously had an impact. There's only 22 episodes instead of the usual 26 in this one, and one of those is a clip show, the season finale. As a general arc, I think this one started out okay. Started out poorly, actually. It was impacted by the writer's strike, now that I'm looking at things. Started out poorly. peaked in a little bit in the middle, went through a dead patch rounding the corner towards the end, and then ended strong except for Shades of Grey, which is interesting. It's weird that they sort of plotted things out like that. I don't know how much goes into how much is that just by chance or whether it's design about where they're placing the episodes in the order. But that's about it. I'm just going to run through a few award type things. You know, just as a note, this season won, I think this season won the show its first Emmy. Let me double check that that actually happened. I believe they won the first Emmy this year. Or if not, it was nominated. Season 2 was nominated for 8 Emmy Awards. Q Who was nominated in 3 categories, and it won 2. Outstanding Sound Editing and Outstanding Sound Mixing. So not the most prestigious of Emmy Awards, but the show was winning something at that point. It was mostly technical stuff, so they won for sound mixing on Q Who. That was the only episode that won. The other award I think that's worth mentioning is the Writers Guild of America gave the Best Episodic Drama to Measure of a Man. So Melinda Snodgrass won that. Or did she win it? No, it was the nomination. So she did not win, but she was nominated. That might be a good wrap up. That might be a good sort of summation of season 2. You know, you're trying, you're not quite getting there, unfortunately. So I came up with a bunch of categories for awards. I thought I'd just go through them real quickly. And that'll be just something of an hopefully entertaining way to wrap up season 2. So let's start with our most improved character. Our most improved character, I think this one has to go to Worf. Worf's interesting because Worf has only one episode that focuses on him this season. I think it's Emissary. I'm just looking quickly now. I think that's the only Worf-centric. However, Worf, I felt, was really elevated in this season. He's really... They've found his sweet spot in the batting order. They know when to bring him in and when not to. Whereas season 1, he was a bit too stoic and in the background and really just there to sort of show that this series is different from the original series. They've really started to figure out the comedy of how to use Worf. He's figured out his little one-liner, sort of sarcastic one-liners he can use and when to drop them. And they've also managed to build him out as someone who's formidable and actually... You know, the show respects the Klingon culture that he's coming from, which is important because the show's going to be spending a lot of time with that. So if Dorne wasn't nailing this as Worf, I think things would have gone up in smoke. And I think he's most drastically improved from his season 1, where other players took a step back. I think Riker and Picard and Data, I think, all took a step back in season 2. But Worf was the one that I most noticed as being closest to what he's going to be for the rest of the series. And I think he did a huge, huge improvements here. You know, he's got his good thing in peak performance. He's got Emissary, Good Samaritan. I always pronounce that fucking word wrong. Good Samaritan Snare. He is the voice of reason in that episode. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that. He's got good information for Matter of Honor, for Riker when he goes over on the Klingon ship. All in all, very good. So most improved goes to Worf. Worst character of the season. I think a lot of people would expect me to say Pulaski, but I'm going to save her. It's not Pulaski. The worst character of the season is Troy, Deanna Troi. The show continues to not really understand what they want to do with her. She has one of the worst episodes of the season in The Child, where not through any of the actress's fault, the script is atrocious. It drags down the character enough to be my vote for the worst character of the season. She brings back her mother, who is slightly unbearable at this point. She never stands up to her mother, which is infuriating. She continues to be pointless in interactions with the aliens because I think they've toned down the something is going wrong statement she would make a lot in season 1. But they haven't found a way to fill that, and now she just doesn't do anything. She's there just as a body in a lot of these episodes and doesn't add anything to anything. Mostly forgettable. I'm looking through the list of stuff now and I can't think of a single Troy. She's important in Manhunt, but just because her mother's involved. And I think that's pretty much it. Is any of this... Yeah, I can't remember Troy's plot in any of these other episodes. So that'll say something for you. That's why Troy wins the worst character of the season. The biggest lacking character... I don't know. I had a hard time figuring out a name for this award. It's the character who I was most surprised by their lack of prominence. I guess that would be the way to say it. And I think it's Picard. because I had always thought that Picard was going to be the center character of this series, and he has not been. He was a little bit more prominent in season one. Season two, he seems to have taken a step back, and he doesn't have that much of a focus. He's certainly in a lot of scenes, and he's in a lot of episodes, obviously. He's still the main cast member, the main build cast member. So he's involved in everything, but there wasn't a lot of Picard-centric episodes going on here. He's important in Measure of a Man, of course, but it's not really about him. That's a Data episode. He is in Silence Has Lease. Not really important. He's got his probably the most centric one is Time Squared, where his double comes back, which is a bad episode. So I don't think that I would really want to think about that one. He's Q Who. He's important there, but that's more of an ensemble piece. Yeah. He's not really involved all that much. There's a surprising lack of Picard in season two, or a surprising lack of episodes that feature the captain. Riker also took a step back, but that might have just been more the fact that he's very prominent in season one, and I didn't remember that. And he might have stepped back to a more reasonable role in season two. So the biggest lacking character, or however you want to phrase it, is Picard. So least to beast, that's the name of this award. This award goes to Dr. Pulaski. Dr. Pulaski is interesting in this. She starts off horrible, probably one of the worst characters the show's ever done. And she develops over time into something that's actually pretty interesting. By the end of the season, she's probably one of the best rounded out characters that the show has. And every scene that she's in, she brings a specific characterization to that character that is different from Beverly Crusher. Where I thought in her first appearances where she's basically McCoy and she hates Data and she seems to be anti-science, which is obnoxious for a doctor to be. She stays that course up until probably Unnatural Selection, which is her episode that focuses on her and she has to deal with the aging people. And she makes those horrible decisions that any doctor would probably not make. The show seemed to realize they'd screwed her up at that point, and she's missing from a lot of the episodes. A good majority of the season does not involve Dr. Pulaski, which is kind of surprising to me. They brought her back with a vengeance later on, though. I think probably along Up the Long Ladder, which is not a good episode, but she is in Manhunt, I believe, Emissary, Peak Performance. And she has a good, you know, she's not the focus of those episodes. But her character is interesting, where she had gone from the McCoy. They then turned her sort of into a Beverly Crusher character, where there was nothing distinct about her from Dr. Crusher. That's when they took her out of there. They brought her back, and she's sort of a curmudgeon, but she's the most spirited of the characters, if that makes sense. They sort of settled up on her being a little bit spirited, a little bit a motherly character to the rest of them, and not motherly in the sense that she was taking care, but motherly in the fact that she was defending people, and she had the most sort of brazen opinions about things, but not brazen to the point of being annoying, which she was in Unnatural Selection. So she's an interesting character. I think the hate for her is probably slightly undeserved. It's most certainly deserved for her first half of the season, where she plays that character so poorly, and it might not just be her playing her, it might just be a poor casting decision. The show eventually sort of rights the ship, literally and figuratively, and she becomes something interesting, and it's sad that she doesn't get much of a send-off. Or not sad, but it's a little bit disappointing, because she ends on Shades of Grey, which she is prominent in, and she will just not be brought back. I think she's mentioned in a later season, but she's not going to be around for this. That's it. Season 3, Beverly Crusher comes back, which I prefer, but I don't hate Dr. Crusher, or Dr. Pulaski, excuse me. So, Least to Beast Award goes to Dr. Catherine Pulaski. The Sixth Man Award. This was a toss-up. I had to think about this one probably the most out of anything. The Sixth Man Award, I'm going to give to, if you're not aware, Sixth Man is an award given in the NBA, so it's sort of a bench player that comes in and has the most impact. So it's not a starter that you would start the game with. There's five starters in basketball, and so the Sixth Man would be the first person off the bench that you can bring in to maybe save things. It's between Guinan and O'Brien, right? Those are our two options. Two hugely important characters in a season that was seemed like they really focused on branching out the supporting cast, including Ensign Sonia Hot Chocolate Gomez and Burke, the security officer. The show seemed obsessed with bringing other secondary officers into the fold. I think they did the best job with Guinan and O'Brien. O'Brien is in many episodes of season two, kind of a surprising amount. He is nails his character. He's very funny. He provides comic relief. I love the way other characters interact with him. Riker in particular is excellent interacting with him. And O'Brien's going to stay on the as the transporter chief for, I think, through the sixth season, if I'm not mistaken. So he's here for a long while, and eventually, obviously, would be spun off onto Deep Space Nine. You know, there's nothing really you can say bad about O'Brien. He's really an excellent addition. It gives a great secondary character that can be called in to do things. He's very versatile. He's sort of an engineer, sort of a transporter chief, sort of a different opinion that you can bounce off. He's much more relaxed than a lot of the other officers. Unfortunately for O'Brien, I think I'm going to have to give the sixth man award and call it a sixth woman award. I'm going to have to give it to Guinan. Guinan's not in as many episodes as O'Brien is. Guinan's importance is she's in a few episodes. She's focused on very heavily in those episodes. And she's mostly an advice giver. And her importance is really due to the fact that she supplants Troy as that character of the counselor on the ship, which is bad news for Troy, and also leads into the fact that I gave Troy the worst character of the season. Guinan comes on, is a listener, is a bartender character. People go to her with the problems you'd assume they would go to the counselor with, and Guinan's solutions are much more interesting than Troy's solutions ever are. Troy's a bad result of poor writing and poor acting, in my opinion, against Guinan, who's written mysteriously, so they don't have to go too crazy in explaining why she feels these ways, which is a huge advantage for the writers. You have a mysterious character who is not required to give counselor answers and actually gives more realistic, truthful answers than Counselor Troy ever does to anybody who seeks her advice. Guinan's fascinating, and the show does a good job with her. A bartender character is really interesting to have be a listener character like that. It makes sense, obviously. You know, Ten Forward obviously becomes a important part of the show. And Guinan's central. She does not appear in that many episodes, but Whoopi Goldberg always crushes the role whenever she's called in. And I think she's just an excellent addition to the show. If I had to get rid of one, I would get rid of O'Brien. I think that's the difference. I think you can replace O'Brien more easily than you can Guinan, even though she's in fewer episodes. So that's it. The sixth woman award, or the sixth man, goes to Guinan. Best director. I think it's Bowman. I think Bowman had the only scene we commented on, Q Who, where he went handheld on a tracking shot of Picard. I think Q Who might be the best directed episode out of the series. That shot in particular just stands out. A lot of best director is hard. I think I have to start paying attention to the actual episodes and write down what I thought were well-directed episodes. It's hard to go back and remember them for what they are. You tend to remember the script more, obviously, because that's the story that you're given. And director slips by if you're not paying attention to it. I do think, though, going through all the episodes, that Bowman is going to get best director, Rob Bowman, for this. Which is fitting, he would go on to become quite a successful director. Best script, I'm going to give it to A Matter of Honor, which is Burton Armas. A lot of people, I think, would go with Measure of a Man. I don't think the script there is as strong as Matter of Honor. Measure of a Man tries to bite off more than the show is capable of chewing, I think, which is a downside of the show sometimes, where it has these big ideas and it can't quite grasp what it's trying to say. I think Measure of a Man is that episode. Matter of Honor, I think, is the first episode of the show that really worked well as a script. Everything made sense. Everything was paced very well. The scenes were illuminating. You learned something from all of the scenes. You learned something about Klingon culture. And I think that's important. And I think Measure of a Man is the script here that stuck out the most, where Q Who might be a more memorable episode, but the structure of that show is bizarre. It has a lot of moments with Sonia Gomez, which you don't care about. The best script, in my opinion, is A Matter of Honor. So the last award I'm going to give out is the best moment of the season. This is a tough one. Not because there's a lot of great moments in this season. I don't know if there are. I think the episodes sort of stick out more than anything. But I'm going to go with the best moment is Q-Who's, Picard's quote of, "I need you," when Picard has to bite the bullet and admit that the crew needs Q to save them from the Borg threat, which they are woefully underprepared for. I think it's a pretty good scene. I think it plays better in my head than it actually does on screen. But I think the importance of that line is a huge turning point for the series, where the show had gone from season one's sort of racist humanity thing, where humans are always better than every other species, to a point where humans can't beat everything, and sometimes you just need a godlike being to come in and save your hide. After you've been bragging to him that you're ready to meet any threat head on, he shows you how naive you are, and Picard having to bite the bullet, admit when he was wrong, and ask Q for help is a great turning point in this show. That's a very important theme that the show was not doing well, and Q Who is the first script that really admitted that the track the show was on was not working out, and you need to fix things in a drama series. You need to actually have some conflict. You need to have things that are better than you. You need to have issues that are too weighty to take on. You need to have foes who can't be beaten. You need to lose. People need to die, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to give that the best moment, the "Q, I need you" quote from Picard. All right, let's move on to best and worst episodes. I'm going to do the worst first, and I think I learned my lesson. I'm going to count backwards. So the fifth worst episode of the season here is, drumroll please, The Icarus Factor. Riker with his daddy issues. I don't like this episode. I think the script is vaguely offensive. I think it doesn't make any sense. Why the show wants me to side with Kyle Riker doesn't make any sense when the show seems to admit that Kyle Riker is a bad character. But at the same time, everyone is pushing Riker to reconcile with someone who I don't think deserves reconciliation. And the show does not seem to do anything with that. The show is just like, it's better if they forgive and forget, move on. Who cares about how bad Kyle Riker is? And it also had that ridiculous game of Anbo Jitsu or whatever that stupid thing was called, which doesn't make any sense. But that's it. The fifth worst episode of the season, The Icarus Factor. Fourth worst, Le Dauphin. The Dauphin. The fourth worst episode is The Dauphin, which is a Wesley Crusher heavy episode where he has to deal with falling in love. That basically is bad enough. I think you could do that show well if you wanted to. Instead, all I remember are the poor shape-shifting bits from that, the old grumpy woman that has a weird relationship with Worf, and all of that stuff. It's just nothing. It's not an episode that I would ever want to watch again. Wesley Crusher does not need to be prominent in the show. This season has done a good job of relegating him to the background, and unfortunately, he steps forward to helm that one, and it's really not anything worth watching. Third worst episode of the season. This is going to be the shocker. I'm going to put the third worst as Shades of Grey. I know a lot of people think this is the worst episode of the series and maybe of Star Trek in general. I talked about in the Shades of Grey podcast why I didn't think that was particularly fair. I don't think the plot is very good, but I don't think it's any worse than a lot of the worst episodes the show has ever done. It's a clip show, which gets a lot of hate. So the fact that it's a clip show does make it probably the laziest episode that's been done. But I find some of the other skips to be either boring or annoying to the point where they're a worse show. This one is just really dull and really stupid. And it's stupid because it's a clip show. So I kind of had to hedge my bet here, and I'm not going to say it's the worst of the season. I would never watch Shades of Grey if I had to. I'd never show anyone and be like, this is a fantastic episode. You should watch this. It's not even worth saying this episode is so bad, you need to see how bad it is. It's not The Room of Star Trek. If you were to show this to someone, they'd say, that was a really stupid clip show you just showed me. Where I think for some of these other two episodes, I'm going to say, and a lot of the season one episodes that were worse than Shades of Grey, you could show someone that and be like, this is so bad, you have to see it. And I think they would agree with you. So that's it. Shades of Grey, the third worst of season two. The second worst episode of season two, Where Silence Has Lease. I don't like this episode. It has another appearance of a godlike being, which was getting really old at this point. I think the show is boring as hell. It's sort of a bottle episode in that they beam over to the Yamato, or whatever the vision of the Yamato is, which is exactly the Enterprise set because it's a Galaxy-class starship. They wander around. Worf screams, "One Riker, one bridge," and none of it makes any sense. They get out of it, and then Picard just has like a, "See you, Nagulum," and Nagulum says bye. And I think it's really, a really dumb, lazy episode that I never want to watch. I always feel that Where Silence Has Least is one of the worst episodes of the show. And it's a difficult one to explain why I feel that way. I just do. Is that good enough for you? I feel like it's lazy, dumb, and it's all the worst tropes of the show stuck into one episode, and I just don't want to watch it. So that's it. The second worst episode is Where Silence Has Least. The worst episode of the show, worst episode of season two, drumroll please. Worst episode is The Child. The first episode of season two is by far the worst episode of this season. Troy is idiotic in that show. The plot line is ridiculous, where she's impregnated by an alien being and is somehow held hostage and wants to raise a child, and the child grows at a lightning fast rate. He becomes like a 5-year-old in a day. No one seems particularly nervous by this. There's a weird thing about Troy is essentially raped in this episode that no one seems to care about. It's very bizarre. Troy's reaction to the whole thing is not discussed, and it's so odd that it should be. And then it's emotionally manipulative at the end where the kid dies. He kills himself because he has to save the ship and devastates Troy, who has been pregnant for 2 days, I think, and had a kid for one. And it is just emotionally hacky. There is nothing grounding what the show expects us to be feeling. No one comforts Troy. It's a weird, weird episode. It was pulled from phase two, I think. It's a script from phase two that they sort of rewrote for the show after the writer's strike. And it's garbage. It's a bad, bad episode. I'd call it offensive. I'm never really offended by these shows. It would be hard to be offended by a genre sci-fi show. But the ideas in The Child are not intelligent and poorly played, poorly written, and just manipulative. So that's it. The worst episode of season two is The Child. Let's move on to the best, five best episodes. The fifth best. Anyone want to take a guess? It's peak performance. Peak performance. Sorry for all the plosives again. But it's an interesting one. I love war games. War games are always fun. Any show that features war games is something that I'm going to be interested in. You know, there's a lot of great character stuff here where the crews split into two different crews. Riker commands the Hathaway. Picard is on the Enterprise. There's a lot of good stuff in that. It features one of the worst acting performances by Ensign Nagel, I think, of all time, who is the ensign on Riker's bridge. She's terrible. But outside of that, it's a clever, interesting episode. It has a good plot, and the characters at this point had developed enough to fill in a plot-driven episode and actually make you feel right. It's not just driven by plot for plot's sake. The characters are actually very important into it. So the fifth best episode is Peak Performance. Fourth best might be controversial. I think people consider this one to be a top 10 episode of the series. I don't think it is. It's Measure of a Man, fourth best episode. Still very good. It's still good for the season. I don't know how good it is in terms of the overall show. I think, as I mentioned before, the episode bites off more than it can chew. And it doesn't particularly hit the Data being a sentient creature as well as I think it could have. I think that the enemy in that show, I can't remember his name, the doctor who wants to take Data and dissect him, is played a little bit too villainous for what the show is trying to do. I would have preferred if he was more straight ahead and there was a legitimate ethical debate about whether or not Data's alive as opposed to making this villainous sort of cartoon come in and just be like, I'm going to cut open Data and there's nothing you can do about it. It's an interesting script. Melinda Snodgrass wrote some of the... She didn't always hit the nail on the head. I don't know if that's because of rewrites or whatever. But her scripts are Star Trek in the fact that they're theme-heavy and they explore a big idea. I don't think the show is capable of doing it as well as it would be. Not that the show ever gets really great at doing that, but they certainly do get better. And this is a little bit too early for that to happen. So the fourth best episode, Measure of a Man. Third best episode, Controversial one here too, probably more controversial, The Royale. I love The Royale. I will probably always watch The Royale. I think it does a lot of good stuff. I think it hits a lot of different tones that are very difficult to do. I think the comedy in it is probably some of the best comedy the show would ever do. Picard sort of dealing with the book is great. I laughed just thinking about it, which is geeky and stupid, but it's a lot of people don't like The Royale, and I love The Royale. I think it gets around the holodeck thing by having source material be bad is a great out for that show. And I think the show does an underappreciated job of explaining why that's important and why that's cool. It's The Royale, you know, it's creepy. It's got good stuff. It's got a horribly cheesy set. It's got a story that doesn't make sense, but it somehow does make sense. It's got people on the bridge waiting for Riker, Worf, and Data to get out of there with their head in their hands. It's enjoyable. It might be enjoyable in a very meta sense, but I enjoy thinking about it and watching that episode. Third best episode of the season, The Royale. Second best episode, Matter of Honor. Probably the first really, really good episode the show did. Matter of Honor is very strong. It explores a lot of things very well. The stuff on the Enterprise with the Benzite is a little bit more weak than the stuff with Riker on the Pah or whatever that ship is called. This is the officer exchange program episode where Riker serves on a Klingon ship and the Enterprise gets a Benzite. The Benzite stuff is weaker, but it makes sense in context, and his plot ties into the A plot of Riker fairly well. It's just that the alien is more annoying than I think he needs to be. But I really love this episode. I love the Riker fight scene. I love Riker having dinner with the Klingons. I like the fact that it's the show sort of molding the two cultures together and showing why they're different and why they can actually get along at this point. It's got a decent plot mechanic about why there's tension in the show. The conflict actually comes from somewhere. It's very, very good. I enjoy that script. I think it's well written. The Enterprise stuff could be beefed up a little bit, but at this point, you're not going to get perfect episodes. I just really like Matter of Honor. I think it's intelligent, and I think it shows something. It's a little bit of a... It differentiates itself from the original series. A Matter of Honor is a next-generation take, and I think that's important. So that's it. The number two best episode of the season, Matter of Honor. And the best episode, it's no surprise, it was my only five of this season. The best episode of the show, or the best episode of the season, excuse me, is Q-Who. It's important. It changes everything about the tone. It changes everything about what the show is saying about humans. It introduces the Borg, which can't be understated. Probably one of the best alien inventions that the Next Generation gave to the Trek universe. It is bizarrely constructed. It's a weirdly constructive episode. The act structure is all over the place. It focuses a lot too much, I would say, on Sonya Gomez spilling hot chocolate all over people. But for some reason, this fixes things. It brings back Q. It gives Q a role as a moral barometer, which is important, which is why the other godlike beings are not as interesting. Because prior to this, all the godlike beings had basically been court jesters who were doing parlor tricks with the crew. They say that they have omnipotent powers and they can do whatever they want. And in actuality, all they do is put people in silly costumes and make them dance around. This is different. Q is showing something about humanity that we don't want to see and we don't want to admit. And he's the only person capable of doing it. And it's also interesting in the fact that when you think about it, his underlying reasons for doing this is also very interesting and debatable, whether or not he's doing it as vengeance, whether or not he's doing it to help humanity. It's cool. That's the best way to treat godlike beings. They have to sort of be barometers of human ethics, which is what the best episodes with Q, I think, do. And this is the first one. Introduces the Borg, gives us a decent, a very good ethical thing, makes Picard get down on his knees and beg. Humanity is shaken, and it's going to fire off a lot of great plots in the future. So that's it. Q-Who, Maurice Hurley's best contribution to the season by far, and Q-Who is the best episode of that season. So the average for season two, where the average score for episodes in season one was 1.84, the average for season two turned out to be 2.55. So it's an improvement. It's somewhere stuck between a two and a three, obviously. Which makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of ones dragging this overall score down. There's a lot of fives that raise it up, and there's a lot of middling to not very good episodes in the middle. So 2.55 for season two. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed this recap, this wrap-up episode. A couple of awards. Let me know in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube what you thought, if you disagree with any of those awards, all that stuff, and a like or a dislike, whatever you want to do. Fuck it, whatever. Just hit one of those little thumbs. And I'd appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating review, always appreciate it. Thank you guys very, very much. And we're about to get into the heart, not the heart of season three. We're about to get into the heart of the show. Season three is fantastic, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. New uniforms, better character development, a new showrunner, which we'll probably talk about in season, the first episode of season three. So that's it, guys. 2.55, the average score. The best episode, Q Who, the worst episode, The Child, and all those other awards. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you very, very much. It's much appreciated. And I'll see you soon with episode one of season three, which, what the hell is it called? Evolution? Evolution? I can't just sign out here. Let me check this. Season three, Evolution. That's it. All right, guys. I'll see you.